Praise the Lord. You can be seated. We're going to go right into the message. And I guess I don't need this because this is what keeps my notes. And we're not going to be using those today because we have a brand new message. Praise the Lord. Folks, usually this is the time where I introduce myself to first-time guests. If you're visiting the church today, we just welcome you. We love you and are so glad to see new faces. Usually I spend more time. But for the sake of what the Lord wants to do this morning, we're going to move right into the direction that He has for us because it's important. It's an instruction by the Lord Himself. And so we want to get right to it. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Praise the Lord. When we started singing about the name of Jesus and the power of God fell, it became apparent real quickly that the direction of this service was going to change. And so we're going to get help. And many of us have already received help this morning. It's a wonderful thing for the laying on of hands in the name of Jesus, you know, to minister that, you know, to help people, set them free. Sometimes things can get into our life that, you know, we didn't plan it and God didn't plan it. And sometimes we just need an extra boost, you know, in the name of Jesus. And some people, they see those things and they say, oh, that's weird. And I don't understand it. Well, there's no fault in not understanding it. But that's what I'm going to teach you right now. Amen. So you can understand it because every single one of us, if you're born again, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have access to the name of Jesus, which is the power of attorney for God on this earth. You know, Jesus Himself physically is not on this earth anymore. He ascended 2,000 years ago, but the power of attorney is still here on this earth. He left behind His name for His body to use in His absence on this earth. Amen. Glory to God. That's who you and I are. And listen, the name of Jesus will do anything that Jesus Himself did when He was on this earth 2,000 years ago. Jesus Himself left, but actually Jesus said, it'll be profitable. It'll be more profitable for you if I go away. He said, because if I go away, I will send another in my place. And the other that He sent in His place is none other than the Holy Ghost. Amen. And He said, I am going to, He said He's going to duplicate Himself on this earth. Whereas when Jesus was on this earth, there was only one God-filled man on this earth. And so everyone had to quick and huddle around Him. But what He did is He put Himself in all of us. And so there's just not one God-filled man on this earth. There are millions of God-filled people, men and women on this earth, with the power of attorney to act in His stead. All right, when Jesus cast out devils in the New Testament, guess who does the same in the power of His own name? It's we do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we're going to talk about the name of Jesus. And as we were singing that song, this verse in the book of Hebrews started to play in my spirit, and I received direction to teach and to preach on it. Amen. And of course, no, this is not, you know, by notes or anything like that. Of course, I do my part to be ready, and I have a message prepared for every service. But listen, we better be filled with the Word so that we can be instant in season and out of season. If a preacher needs an outline to preach, then there's something wrong. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, of course, nothing wrong. We should do our studious diligence and stuff. And I'll write down things, you know, as I, you know, prepare. But when the Spirit of God speaks and starts giving me a verse, say, go here, we should be able to teach and minister by the Holy Ghost. And go over there to Hebrews chapter 1. Yeah, praise God. And, of course, I am looking for this verse because it's in my heart and I see it's right here in Hebrews chapter 1. I'm just thinking of the great place to start. Let's start in verse, why don't we just go ahead and start in verse 2. Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 2. It's talking about God the Father speaking to us through Jesus, His Son. And He says, God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Plural. All right? That is talking about the earth that we live on and all those stars and all that, all those galaxies that are out there in space. Everything that was made by the Father through Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to Him. And we know the Bible also tells us why creation was made. Creation, the Bible says, well, it says in Revelation 4:16. It also says over there in the book of Colossians, what is it, 3:16, where it tells us that all things were made by Him and for Him. All right? Everything, talking about Jesus, everything was made by Him and for Him. All right? What does that mean? It means all creation was a gift of love from the Father to the Son. So everything that was made by Him. All right? And if Jesus made it, He knows how to move it. Everything that was made, amen, was made by Him. And so He understands how to move in those things. All right? And it says, in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir over all things, by whom also He made the worlds, the earth, the heavens. You know, He made the stars and the galaxies and all this stuff. Who, speaking of Jesus, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. You know, if you've ever wondered how all things stay together, you know, and you know, as astronauts and astronomers, they look out into space with these big telescopes and everything. You know, they see planets that are moving and orbiting around stars, and there's this real order in the galaxy. And so many astronauts, you know that there's so many astronauts that have been at least in orbit around the Earth, that so many of them come back and testify that they now believe in God. I'm not saying all of them get saved. I'm saying that they come back from seeing the Earth suspended there in space. Many of them come back and testify that they believe that there is a God, because they cannot understand how the Earth is suspended so perfectly in that place, has a perfect orbit around the sun. If we were a few feet to the left or a few feet to the right, we'd either burn up or freeze up. You know, and they see it and they wonder and they just marvel, how is that staying in place like that? Well, the Bible says that He is upholding all things by the word of His power. And if His word has the power to keep the earth in place, to keep the solar system in place, and to keep the galaxy in place, I'm guessing that the word of His power has enough power to keep your life in place. Glory to God, because He's upholding all things by the word of His power. And who is the word of His power? Jesus is the word, right? Revelation 19, when Jesus comes back to this earth, it is written on His side. His name is called the Word of God. His name is the Word of God. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And then it goes on to say in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Glory to God. Well, I got good news for you here today. The Word is still among us. Glory to God. And He's upholding all things by the word of His power. And now look, it says, which He had by Himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So when Jesus rose again, He's keeping everything together that was ever made, and He sat down at the right hand of the Father, which is the ultimate place of authority on this earth. Glory to God. Or anywhere, heavens and the earth. And we'll turn over to another scripture here in a moment that says that even more. But that's where Jesus is right now. All right? He is seated at the right hand of Majesty on high. Now look what happened when He did. It says this in verse 4. It says, being made, Jesus, so much better than the angels. All right, we're not talking about an angel here. We're talking about the Son of God, who is so much better than the angels. Yeah, amen. And it says, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Come on, we need to get something out of that verse. It says that Jesus obtained His name by inheritance. Come on, we need to understand this. All right, how did you get your name? You were born and someone gave it to you. Love it or hate it, they gave you, you know. And some of these modern names, I think, are just about child abuse, what people are naming their kids these days. But we won't go there. Praise the Lord. Of course, I don't believe that. I'm kidding around. kind of, you know. some of these names that people place on their kids, you think, oh my goodness, how are they ever going to get a job with a name like that? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. But we get our name just because someone just gave it to us. But Jesus didn't get his name that way. Jesus obtained his name through an inheritance. Okay? An inheritance is what is left for you legally. All right? Okay? When you inherit something from a loved one that has passed on, you get what belongs to them, you know, legally by inheritance. It passes from their possession into your possession. In the same way, God had reserved a name for Jesus in the eternal past, waiting until the time when his sacrifice would be fulfilled, when Jesus would rise again and he would ascend into that right-hand seat at the majesty of high, and God said, here, now the name that has been waiting for the through all the eternal ages is now given to you as your inheritance. Yes. That means when you receive an inheritance, you're receiving something of great value, of great power, of great legal authority. And Jesus sat down at that right hand of God, and that name that was given to him by an inheritance to obtain all things that belong to the Father. Yes. Glory to God. His name was not just given to him so we know what to call him. His name was received through inheritance. It was a legal transaction in God saying, everything now that has ever been created is now going to be subject to this name. There will be no name higher. There will be no name greater. There will be nothing that will be impossible to this name. This name will save all of humanity. Acts 4:12, there's no other name given a man under heaven whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. That name has great power and authority, glory to God. And he didn't just get it some cheap, shallow way. He got it through an inheritance. And how does someone receive an inheritance? Well, somebody's got to die. His name was reserved for him because it was a result of his faithfulness and willingness to face that cross, to descend into hell, to raise again. It's something that he received out of the power of his faithfulness, that he completed his mission. And God was waiting for all eternity for the moment that he would inherit that name. Glory to God. It upholds all things by the word of his power. It's the inheritance of all things. Listen, I'll tell you what. The church has failed to realize and to understand the power that is in that name. Let me show you what happened when Jesus sat down and once he received that name. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. You say, well, man, that sure is good for the name of Jesus. Boy, you know, the name is certainly good for him. I'm glad he has it. Well, I'm going to show you who he gave it to. Because he didn't just take that name and keep it for himself. He delegated it to somebody. He delegated it to somebody. And I'll tell you what, we have such a weak and watery Christianity today. We have Christians that are running around seeking entertainment, seeking, you know, every other, you know, method and ministries that are, you know, just the extracurricular thing. And they don't even ever get a revelation of the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is how you live this life. It is how you prevent being defeated. The name of Jesus is how you meet your needs in this life. And most importantly, the name of Jesus is how you set others free. There are hurting people all around you in your life, in your schools, in your jobs, everywhere that need that name. They need that name. There's people in your life, family, friends, coworkers, you know, that are around you that even if you're not, you know, of course we should witness to them, but I'm talking about even in private, you are saying in the name of Jesus, you know, in the name of Jesus, I declare they come to the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, I break and I bind that blindness that has hidden the gospel from them. where you're taking authority in prayer and in the Spirit, and you're praying for people, praying them out of the kingdom of darkness, praying them into the kingdom of light. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, there's so many times when I become aware of certain, you know, things and issues that people are facing in this church. And when I do, and when I pray for you, you know what I say? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know? And I'm going to say something shocking to you. I don't plead the blood of Jesus over you. You know, we don't see that in the New Testament. You don't see anywhere where any apostle, any instruction to the church was ever given. But we see over and over and over, use the name of Jesus. Of course, the name is authorized by the blood. It was signed in the blood of Jesus, but the name is the focus. Matthew 28, praise the Lord. Now go over there to verse 18. This is Jesus after he rose again, and right before he's ascending to that right hand of the majesty on high. The Lord knew what was being entrusted to him as he sat at that right hand of the Father. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Okay? Now, that word power there, you know it's the word for authority. In the original Greek, it's the word all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. All right, the word power is a good word as well, but it might help us to know it means authority. And so people look at that and they say, well, of course, you know, Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. And I believe that, and that's not hard to understand. We read that, but we stop right there. But we have to look at the next verse because Jesus tells us what it means to us. Look at verse 19. It says, he says, go ye therefore. He then looks at his church. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. He says, therefore, you go. Yes. What is he saying? You go in the authority of my name. Yes. He's delegating that authority to the church on this earth because he didn't say, I'm going to go. Right. He said, you're going to go. Yeah. And look what he said. Teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, you're going to go, and you're going to go with the power of the name. Right. Let me show you this. Go over to Mark. Mark chapter 16. Well, praise the Lord. I don't know how long this message is going to be. I'm going to preach until the Spirit tells me to stop. And that concerns some of you. I don't care how nice the weather is out there. Yeah. Oh, don't be so carnal. Some people aren't even more spiritual than the weather. Which I mean, we got a full house here. We're not, you know, we're preaching to the choir here. Go in verse 15. Mark 16, 15. Here's the Great Commission for you. Jesus told his church, he turned to his church, he said, all power and all authority in heaven and earth is given to me, therefore you go. You go. All right, before we get to this verse, real quickly, just so I can, you know, kind of reinforce what we just said, can you bring up Luke 10, 19? One of my favorite verses. One of my favorite verses. I'll tell you what, this is the answer to weak Christianity. You know, no Christian should be getting beat up in this life. You know, I'll tell you what, the name of Jesus is the answer to worry. It is the answer of lack. You know, I'll tell you what, the name of Jesus, if you know how to use it properly, it'll get you out of your emotions. And it will help you be bold and to stand up and use that name instead of sitting there, oh, my goodness. And, you know, I talked about a service or two ago, people that are mild responders versus wild responders. So many Christians are wild responders. Something happens and they have a wild reaction to something. You know, wild reactions will open the door to fear in your life. When something comes against you, the more mild you are, you know what I mean? The more mild and you're not just losing control, but you keep your emotions under control and you step forward and you use the name. But Pastor, they told me something was in my body. Pastor, you know, this and that is coming against me. Well, guess what? I can't stand in that place of complete authority for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. Jesus on the throne cannot do that for you. You are going to have to step up and you use the name. you know, symptoms come on your body, that is your time to step up and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, sickness, you are not permitted upon the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are trespassing on the purchased possession of God. I command you to leave now in Jesus' name. When fear and depression and anxiety knocks on your mind, you know, and that spirit of fear tries to tangibly get on your life, you step up and you say, no, in the name of Jesus Christ, fear, you are not permitted upon my mind. Fear, I resist you in Jesus' name. Leave now. You know, but Christians don't do that. Instead, you know, they sister prayer warrior and brother mega faithful praying for me. And surely it'll work if the pastor's praying for me. No, the name of Jesus will work just as much for you as it will be for me. My job is to tell you this so you're standing in that place right where you're at. Listen, you shouldn't be picking up the phone or picking up the Facebook. You should be picking up the name of Jesus and standing. Because I have a question. If you don't know how to use the name of Jesus for your life, how are you going to use it for others that are bound in darkness? You know, and some people say, oh, this is just, you know, some radical form of Christianity. No, in this country, we have moved so far away from what God intended that when people actually see what comes out of the Bible, they think it's some kind of shocking new thing. You know, and we're not, you know, here to accuse or attack any other Christians, but I'm just saying that in general, Christianity has become so weak because the church has lost revelation of the name. And instead of, you know, Christians are out pursuing, you know, some kind of mental entertainment or some kind of, you know, mental pacification, they want somebody to just look at them and say, honey, honey, it'll be all right tomorrow. And they walk out feeling better, you know, for 15 minutes. And then 20 minutes later, the devil comes right back, puts the same fear on them, the same defeat on them. Or we can get the word and you can be trained here. When you walk out of those doors, when evil arises in your life, you know exactly how to handle it. When lack rears its head and it looks like you don't have enough, in the name of Jesus Christ, all of my needs are met. Yeah. What? Because as the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, you can look at that bill instead of sitting there wringing your hands like, where's that money going to come from? I don't know. Or you know, we're going to go into foreclosure. Our power's going to get switched off. You know, wouldn't it be better to look at that thing and say, in the name of Jesus, I call this bill paid. Paid. Hey, since we're talking about bills paid, remember those Erie taxes? Remember the Erie taxes? Do you remember those? By the way, last week we wrote the check. It's completely paid in full. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I wasn't planning on giving you an update because we're still going. Glory to God. I wasn't planning on giving you an update today, but the Spirit of God, you know, just fit right there. And here's the good news. You want to hear the good news? Is that those bills are paid, and I haven't even put my pledge on it yet. I'm waiting till May 7th until I write my check. So God is bigger, amen? And so, hey, we'll just keep adding to it. Praise the Lord. And we'll have our needs abundantly met. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, you can, I'll tell you, some of you are like, whoa. People getting excited for the power move. Listen. If you don't get excited about God's house and his bills being paid, what do you think is going to get God excited about paying your bills? Glory to God. Amen. It's worthy of being rejoicing over. Well, when that, we had a 30, for those of you who are visiting or wondering, what are we talking about? Several weeks ago, Last year we purchased a building in Erie, and they hit us with an unexpected tax bill, and we got this bill in the mail for $35,000. You know, and you look at that and say, oh, you know, well, praise God. God's bigger than $35,000. And so we just presented it to the church family, and those bills are paid. Paid in full. Paid in full. And we're not even done with our fundraiser yet. And I promised the church that whatever people in the church give, I would personally match it out of my own finances to a certain point. And so you done spent all my money. You did. You spent it all. Glory to God. And I don't say that. Don't you dare feel sorry. Don't you dare feel sorry for me. Because I'm going to reap a harvest. But what are you going to do when the tax bill shows up at your house? You know, or the need shows up at your house. You can sit there and wring your hands, or you can say, in the name of Jesus, I call this bill paid. In the name of Jesus, this building is paid in full. In the name of Jesus, 6075 Peachtree is paid in full. You know, you can put your address in there. In the name of Jesus, my home is paid in full. Glory to God. Amen. Yep. Yeah, it's worthy to be rejoiced. I'm enjoying your rejoicing. That's why, if you're wondering why I'm not saying anything, I'm just enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. I don't mean for me. Yeah, let's praise Him. Father, we glorify You. We magnify You. You are so faithful and so good. Glory to God. 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 Amen. Listen, I'll tell you what. This is a great lesson. If you want God to pay off your bills, and be excited when His bills get paid. You know, how about that? When you see somebody, it doesn't have to be the church, but you see somebody, yeah, you can be seated. You know, because I do have to get some instruction out here. If you're wondering why, you know, we don't just turn this into an all-out, you know, just running around type of service or anything, because I have an assignment to get some instruction done, you know. But I tell you what, when you see somebody that you know and you see something of theirs get paid off, rejoice. Rejoice. We should rejoice when people have, when they see the blessing of God show up in their life. You rejoice with them. You rejoice. You know, as you were standing up, and as you were, you know, we were rejoicing about that bill being paid in full, you know, all of a sudden a picture just started playing in my spirit. And I saw all of us standing, and one day we will be standing and rejoicing when this building is paid off. I saw myself standing there with the mortgage. I saw myself standing there in the mortgage, and I saw myself waving it in the air. It'll come to pass. Say, well, Pastor, where are we at with that? Well, I'll just tell you, you know, this building was exactly $3 million, all right, when we built it, it opened in 2010, and we're somewhere around 55% paid off, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood. And of course, when you get into a mortgage like that, a lot of the interest comes up front, you know, and so if it seems to be going a little slow, it's just because you pay a lot of that interest up front. And I'll tell you what, think of the things we'll be able to do. Think of the things that we'll be able to do. But I just wanted to tell you that I saw in my spirit, I saw all of us very similarly standing there, and I saw myself holding the mortgage, and it'll happen. It'll happen. It'll happen. And it'll free up resources to go, oh my goodness, you just wait. You think good things are happening now? Which they are. Just wait and see. Just wait and see. We haven't even scratched the surface of it. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, people that you work with and go to school with, they'll be like, yeah, I hear your church is doing this. I hear your church is doing that. You know, there was another event over here, and you did this and this, you know. I'll tell you what. And of course, we've done that in a measure up to this point. But you wait and see what the future holds. You wait and see what it holds. Amen. So if you can't rejoice over resources being in God's plan, how are you going to, you know, how is He going to get resources to you if you don't rejoice for Him? Oh, praise the Lord. You're in Mark 16, verse 15. This is what Jesus said. This was, of course, after His resurrection. And Jesus said to them, that means the church, to the, you know, his apostles, disciples, you know, believers, it would be the same that he's saying to us. He said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Boy, that should be pretty easy. You know, I was telling a story last night when I was in Erie. We're living in the days and the time of a very watered down church. I was at a memorial service, you know, somewhat recently, and I was asked to speak at it, though I was not officiating at it. And so I was working with another pastor, and the pastor, I said, okay, you know, I'm here. Just tell me when you want me to come up, and you know, I'll speak. And he asked me what I was going to say. I said, I'm going to share the gospel, because I don't know that family all that well. They asked me to speak, and so I'm just going to share the good news of Jesus. He said, well, you really can't do that here. I said, pardon me? Pardon me? He said, well, you know, some people in the family are very resistant, and, you know, besides, not everyone's saved here, so you can't share that here. I said, you mean this is the perfect time to share the gospel? How does that make sense? Don't preach the gospel because nobody here is saved. I said, brother, I said, if they didn't want the gospel, they should not have invited two Christian pastors. Because if you get me, you are going to get the gospel. Because Jesus told me to preach the gospel to every living creature, especially in a moment where hearts are broken. The gospel is the answer. He said, preach the gospel to the poor. He said, heal the brokenhearted. He said, well, you know, just stand up and say something nice about the family. I said, I didn't know them very well. I said, you better not call on me then. Because I can't override his authority. He was the one officiating the service. I said, if you call on me, I will come up and I will share the gospel. Praise the Lord. And he did. And he looked stunned. But I'll tell you what, we live in a day and a time where watered down Christianity is afraid to stand in a place like that to reach out for lost souls and tell them about Christ. What does that tell us? We were talking real close because we were whispering. We were in the funeral home, and when he said these things to me, I said, are you serious? And I'm not trying to be confrontational, and I'm not trying to be the bull in the china shop. I'm very diplomatic. But you get into the wheelhouse like that, you know, when there's souls sitting there where eternity is hanging on the line for them, and we live in the time where pastors won't give a salvation call. Yeah. You know, if your leadership is watered down, what hope is it for you? You know, because this is what Jesus said to do. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to everyone. Verse 16, he says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned or condemned. And look at verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Those that believe the gospel. Here is the signs or the tokens, the symbols, or the manifestations that will follow believers in these days. What are the very, you know, first three words Jesus said? In my name. Glory to God. He said, if you're going to go out, he said, if you're going to preach the gospel to every living creature, if you're going to bring the power of God's word to people, the first thing you need to know, it's going to be in my name. Look what he said. He said, in my name shall they, believers. He didn't say they, pastors or prophets. It's not just for the fivefold ministry office. It's for believers. Do we have any believers here today? Well, here is your great commission, folks. And I'll tell you what, it's, you know, unfortunately, man's commission looks a lot different than Jesus' great commission. I don't want man's made theology. I want God's. In my name shall they cast out devils. The word devils there is just the word we call demons. Oh, I don't know if I believe that demons exist. Well, they're going to eat your lunch then. Because the first thing a thief is hoping you don't know is that they're there. You know what I mean? If you don't know the thief is there, he's going to steal and rob everything you have. All right, so there are demons in this world. And the Bible, Jesus told us, in my name, cast them out. He said, and the first thing that you have in my name is complete authority on this earth because I delegated it to you. to go into this world, he's basically saying, and act as my power of attorney and do everything I did when I was here. You know, I know sometimes people hear this. There's some people, they got the white knuckle ride going on. They're hanging onto their chair. They're straight back in their seats. It's like they're on the roller coaster and they're going straight down the hill right now. And they're just holding their breath until it's over. I'm not trying to, rock and roll you. I'm not trying to just, the Lord is. He's got to wake us up. And he makes sure Christians aren't so weak today. Amen. He said, in my name, you will cast out demons. You. And notice, what is the very first demon that you will ever face? Before you go to bed tonight, you're going to face it. And I'll just tell you, not to scare you, but because this is how the devil works. You're going to deal with the spirit of fear about every day of your life. In the form of a thought, a form of something trying to get you worried. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power, authority. Right. Amen. Power, love, and a sound mind. Well, I'll tell you what, that'll cure the depression and anxiety right there. Thank you, Father. I have a sound mind. Amen. He says God didn't give you the spirit of fear. Listen. Just because you're not laying hands on somebody and a demon is making them flop and scream and all that doesn't mean that you don't deal with them every day. No, it might not be you laying hands on somebody and they're growling and foaming at the mouth. But I'll tell you, something as simple as a thought of fear will come to you or fear will knock on your door and you just say, in Jesus' name, fear, I don't permit you. Trespassing. Stop right there. If someone's trying to sneak into your home at night, what are you going to do? You're going to run them off. You're going to run them off, all right? Or you're going to shoot them down. Bah, 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 bah. What does it mean? They're not invited. They're trespassing. They're trying to take that which does not belong to them. The devil is the ultimate thief because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when he's going to try to sneak into your life, number one, through fear, you better be ready with the name of Jesus. No, you don't need to scream it at the top of your lungs. No, you don't go to the checkout line at Wegmans. In the name of Jesus, fear. No. People are going to look at you, and if you do that, please do not tell them that you go to this church. It's happened to me over a few years. Pastor, I ran into somebody from your church, and they're like, oh, goodness. And they'll say, Pastor, they were doing this, that, and this. I don't know who they are. I didn't teach them that. But no, just in the privacy of your home, your car, whatever, you don't need to yell. You just say, it doesn't matter. Listen, you don't have to get angry about it. In the name of Jesus, fear, you're not permitted here. How about accusatory thoughts against your spouse? I about guarantee you will have that before you go to sleep tonight. If you have never had an accusational thought against your spouse, you are a liar. You lie so bad. Oh, I never have. And I make this illustration all the time. I'm not saying it to get extra points with my wife. I mean, she is as good of a human being as you will ever find. It has nothing to do with even that person. Your spouse could be, someone really nice. I don't know. I was clawing for names in my head. Ladies, you could be married to the next Billy Graham. Men, you could be married to the next Mother Teresa or whoever. They could be just the most perfect saint on this earth, and you will still have accusatory thoughts against your spouse. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:31, he said, take no thought saying. You're going to get thoughts in your mind. You're going to, the devil's going to give you pictures in your brain about being with somebody else, about flirting with somebody else. Listen, if you act like that's never happened to you, you're a liar. And so what you do is that you say, in Jesus' name, I don't take that thought. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to keep every thought captive and obedient to Christ. I keep my thoughts obedient to Christ. No, in Jesus' name, that's not my thought. If you followed me around on a daily basis, you would hear times when I just quietly say, that's not my thought. In Jesus' name, that's not my thought. It could be an accusational thought against your spouse. It could be a thought of how a financial thing is going to get paid or relieved. It could be a thought come to you, you're going to lose your job. You know, thoughts just bombard your mind all the time. You better know how to use the name. This isn't going to work out. Your health is going to fail. You're going to die young. This is going to happen to your kids. I mean, do you deal with that? I mean, the devil's knocking on the door of your mind all the time, and you just simply, you step up and you say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Symptom tries to get on your spouse, especially men. I'm going to talk to you. You are the authority in the home. It would behoove you to know and understand that if symptoms try to attack your wife or your children, you step up, men. Not that women can't do this too, but men, you should step up, lay your hands on your children and say, in Jesus' name, sickness, you're not permitted here. The Bible says that the body is called the purchased possession of God. It says the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 6:19. It's in the book of Ephesians, it's called the purchased possession, Ephesians chapter 1. You know, and so this body that you live in, it belongs to God. And when the devil tries to put his hands on it, he is trespassing. And Jesus is not going to use his name for you. God the Father isn't going to use the name. Your pastor isn't going to use the name for you necessarily. You are going to need to use the name. Say, well, Pastor, I just feel weird doing that. That's because you're listening to the flesh. Spiritual things are never going to make sense to the flesh. I'm telling you, you're going to get, this will save your life here today. He said, they that believe, he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Everyone in here, if you're born again, this is what the Bible says, this is how you live. You cast out demons. And again, it might not be over some, you know, someone in a straitjacket who's foaming at the mouth. You know what I mean? You might not be casting a demon out of Hannibal Lecter or something. You know what I mean? Don't, you know, every day of your life, you're going to come into contact with demonic forces. You are. And it's going to begin with your thought life. And it's going to begin with fear. It's going to begin with anxiety. You better know how to just say, in Jesus' name, No, fear, you're not permitted. He said, in my name, they'll cast out demons, and in my name, they shall speak with new tongues. Yeah. Oh, Pastor, this is one of those tongue-talking churches. Well, you know why? Because Jesus said it. Oh, I know what tongues is. It just means when you can speak in a new language. It's a human language that you just didn't know, and God supernaturally allows you to speak Spanish if you didn't know how to speak Spanish, or Chinese if you didn't know how to speak Chinese. No, that's not what it's talking about here. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, if any man speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not unto man, but to God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. All right, speaking in tongues. Now, God can supernaturally draw a language out of somebody, but that is not going to be your daily personal use of it. When you pray in other tongues, Paul went on to say in 1 Corinthians 14:15, he said, what shall I do then? He said, I will pray with my understanding, and I will pray with the spirit as well. Yeah, he said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. This is what Jesus was talking about. The word new there, that you'll speak with new tongues, it means never spoken before. So therefore, it could not be a human language. It's talking about believers. Now, some people have taken this verse and tried to make it say that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. That's wrong, too. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved, but it is a great and valuable opportunity for every believer. No, not the Bible talks about not everyone will speak in tongues and deliver an interpretation in the gathered church, but in the privacy of your prayer life, tongues is available to every believer. Okay, in my name, they're going to cast out demons. In my name, they're going to speak in new tongues. This sounds like a supernatural Christianity. Right from the mouth of Jesus. Yeah. Verse 18. They, believers in my name, shall take up serpents. Okay. We need some interpretation here because we're not going to dance with any cobras today. All right? You say, oh, I went to a snake handling church down there. Well, people have accused us of being that, but we're not. All right? Because what Jesus is not talking about handling snakes like to test your faith. You know, our dear brothers and sisters down in Tennessee and West Virginia have learned the hard way. Look at my faith. Look at my faith. Ouch! Quick, get the anti-venom. You know, I was reading this the story of a pastor down there that would handle snakes to prove his faith, and they said he was bitten 160 times. I was like, well, probably, you know, if your pastor don't have that kind of faith, you better get out of there. He's getting bit. Well, anyhow, not trying to make fun of anybody, but that's not what this verse is talking about. All right, it's talking about taking authority over demonic spirits again. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Isn't that awesome? All right? Especially in those days, people were trying to poison Christians. They were trying to eradicate them off the face of the earth, and Jesus is saying, listen, if someone tries to kill them, you know, and try to subtly take their life, he said, I will protect them from that unknown danger. Isn't that awesome? So there's protection. And notice the last thing. It says, they, believers, shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. What a supernatural gospel we have. But it all starts with what? In my name. In my name, you're going to cast out demons. In my name, you're going to speak in new tongues. In my name, something that tried to rise up and hurt you that you didn't even know about, I'm going to supernaturally protect you. Glory to God. In my name, you will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So where is healing right now? It's in the name of Jesus, in your hands. It's not just for you. It's not just for your children. How about other people in your life? You know, if you have a friend or somebody that, you know, you have an open door to, and, you know, and they're going through a sickness, I mean, it's a great way to witness. Say, hey, can I pray for you? Can I just, you don't have to work up some great, yay, Lord, verily. You know, you put on a ceremonial show, you're in pride. You just, you know, you say, can I just pray for you? Whether you put your hands on their arm, you know, or on top of their head or whatever, you just say, in the name of Jesus, I command health and healing to come into this body. You know, there's so many times my wife and I have had the opportunity to witness to people like that. And they come back, you know, and it says they shall recover. Whether it's a day later, 2 days later, all of a sudden you get the testimony, man, you know, I feel better. Yes. You know, my wife and I have told this story before, but her grandfather, you know, was diagnosed with cancer, and we were over at a family gathering. We say, can we lay hands on you? And he just stood right up and was like, yeah. I mean, you know, man born and raised, you know, in the Catholic Church. And he just stood up and he said, yeah, I believe in the miracles of God. And we just prayed for him right there in our aunt's dining room. And he got the report just a little bit later, a couple weeks later, whatever, that the cancer in his body was gone. Glory to God. I mean, how about the witness? I mean, this is part of the gospel. Healing is the dinner bell for those that are unsaved. Listen, what is this country, the world, pursuing? We're after a better economy and healthcare. It's like whoever's in the White House, if they can't get a good economy, if they can't get a health care bill passed, then they're going to be switched out. You know what I mean? Isn't that what our nation is just longing for? Well, guess what the ultimate health care plan is? It's the gospel. Guess what the ultimate plan for prosperity is? It's the gospel. Amen. We have what the world is longing for. But will we be real Christians that step up? Not in a flaky way. Please don't be flaky. You know what I mean? You don't work up some religious act, because that isn't going to work. But you just sincerely, you know, you just approach people and say, you know, because I love you, I'd like to, you know, tell you how God's moved in my life, and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Or if they have sickness in their body, say, you know, can I just pray with you? You don't need a 5-minute prayer. In Jesus' name, I command health and healing. Notice what I said. I command it. Yeah. I command it. Don't you try it. All right? In the words of Yoda, there is no try. Sorry. No, it's not the force, okay? No, you're not sitting there, I'm going to just try this, see if it works. No, you use your authority. You say, in the name of Jesus, I command health and healing to come into this body. It's that simple. It's less than 10 seconds, and it can change somebody's life. You getting some help out of this here today? Praise the Lord. Why? Because we shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. You know, notice so much, you know, the Bible tells us that the gospel is to go out and administer healing to the sinners, to people that don't know Jesus. But typically in this day that we live in, it's just the church healing itself. You know, we only lay hands on each other and we're just got this little close-knit circle of healing, when actually healing was supposed to go out and bring people into the church. We're supposed to be the healed of the Lord who then minister healing. Well, amen. Now, if that doesn't mean if you're going through something in the body, you're wrong or off or evil. No, we've all been there. We've all been there, all right? And you just, you know, you receive your healing. You say, Father, the Bible says I'm the healed of the Lord. But then you lay hands on the sick, people that don't know Jesus, and use it as a witness and a testimony to them. And let's end here. Go over to Philippians. The name of Jesus. I'll tell you what. This is a powerful Christianity. It's a supernatural Christianity. And why so many people aren't interested in Christ these days is because they're not seeing the power. Amen. Amen. We need to see the God that responds with fire. Where did I tell you to go? Philippians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we're going to just start there. You know what? The passage is so good. Why don't we just start at verse 3 and see if I can find any more sermons here. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You know what vainglory is? Vainglory means drawing attention to yourself. We don't serve God to draw attention to ourselves. It says, but in lowliness of mind, let each of us esteem others better than yourself. Well, that'll change your life. You know, too often we just come to church just for ourselves. What's going to happen when you start coming to church for everybody? You know, your presence here isn't just helpful to you. It's helpful to all of us. Praise the Lord. All right. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. But how that would change the face of Christianity today. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So he had, a moral right to receive a lot of praise. It says, but in verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation. Oh my goodness. And took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, Jesus humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and God has given him a name. Everyone say the name, which is above every name. Now it explains that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. So notice the knees that it's talking about isn't just the knees of the people. Anything can be brought to its knees in the name of Jesus. All right? It's not just people, but it can be sickness is brought to its knees in the name of Jesus. Demons are brought to their knees in the name of Jesus. Anxiety and fear is brought to its knees. Poverty and lack is brought to its knees. Because it's not just people in heaven and earth and the things under the earth. It's things. All right? Things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth. What is it talking about? The name of Jesus is the ultimate authority in heaven. It is the ultimate authority in earth. And it is the ultimate authority in hell. The things under the earth is a reference to hell. Hell shudders at the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. If we would have revelation of the name, It's our inheritance. It's valuable. It's been legally passed to us. Yeah, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, guess who has that name? You do. Everything in this earth bows. The tax bill will bow. Amen. You know, a need for a job is going to bow. Yeah, the symptoms on your body, they're going to bow. The addiction that tries to get on people's lives is going to bow. You know, amen. Praise the Lord. It'll set you free. You know, I'll tell you what. The name of Jesus is your answer in this life. It is the authority of the Great Commission. You know, keeping demons out of your life and helping others if they need help. Laying hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's a supernatural Christianity. It's a supernatural name. When we started singing, the very atmosphere begins to change when you say that powerful name of Jesus. I mean, I'll tell you what, your home should be filled with that atmosphere. I'll tell you what, you pray over your family, your loved ones. You know, you set angels on a hedge of protection around your property, and that name, you can command them in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they are sent. The Bible says that angels are sent as ministers for those who are heirs of salvation. They listen to that name. Yeah, praise the Lord. Well, we read the scripture, didn't we, in Hebrews chapter 1. Jesus has received and obtained by inheritance a greater name than the angels. Amen. The Bible says, Peter said it this way, it said, angels seek to look into and understand what we have as Christians. It's a wonderful, powerful thing. This is how you live this life. You say, you know, if you're visiting here today, yeah, praise God, you came to a good service, you know, where God was moving and doing things. But sometimes it can be different for people. They're not used to it. Well, just because we're not used to it doesn't mean it's not right out of there. And we, listen, I'll tell you what, the revival is not going to be founded on man's ideas. It's going to be founded by ideas right out of here. And like I say, you know, I say this to everybody. I'm committed to you as your pastor to preach out of that and not out of my opinions. Amen. And so if it challenges you, that's not God putting you down. That's God calling you up. Amen. Did you get some help here today? Change your life. This is what the Spirit of God has for us. Let's go ahead and pray.